Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the Transcontinental Race number 9, supported by our race partners Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design. Sunday, 6th of August, and the penultimate day of TCR 9. Tomorrow marks the end of this year's race as the finish line at Thessaloniki closes and the last riders roll in to complete their adventure within the cut-off time for general classification. For those arriving today, there is just that little more time to rest and reflect on their experience and what they've achieved. Guy Bowden, Cap 304.
It's definitely hard, so I definitely met that expectation. No, I don't know. I kind of really enjoyed every bit of off-road that we did. Every bit of climbing and descending, all of that stuff was great. It's just the bits in between.
The flat road bits.
And the 45 degree heat in Greece was quite challenging. I know we've ridden a long way over 2 weeks, but still, we've only been riding for 2 weeks and we've crossed a huge amount of the continent. And, you know, spending less than 24 hours in Montenegro to get across it and things like that, you kind of realise how small Europe really is. But also how massive it is, because you're just crossing so much different landscapes, different terrains, and how quickly the cultures change between places.
Jesko van Werven, Cap 249, is one of those riders to have used social media to keep friends, family and dot watchers up to date with his journey.
What was it that was kind of motivating you to keep going?
I knew I scratched once TCR number 5, and I knew how that felt, and that really wasn't nice, so I talked myself into not doing it, and I talked myself into going to Slovenia and then turning south, and the further I would get, the easier it would be not to scratch, because once you're far away from like Austria, it's harder to get home, and then I don't like giving up these things, but it was tough. Yeah.
And the last thing I wanted to ask you is that people really enjoy your little Instagram updates that you put out. They're almost quite poetic. I'm just curious as to why you take the time to put those together, and sort of maybe do they help you at all with processing the ride?
Yeah, totally. I need to do that, and I don't spend that much time on it. I usually type that when I'm like eating or doing something where I'm not moving, and it's cool that people like it. Yeah, but for me it's just important to write it down for myself to process it, and also to not forget, like later when I want to write down the story properly. These posts help me a lot to remember what happened each day, because so much happens every day, you cannot possibly remember all of that. So it's just like as if you're putting notes into your phone, but I'm posting them, and it's nice to now on the parkour. I have this watch, and if I get a comment or a message, it pops up on my watch, and it's really motivating to get like these little encouragement messages, and so it goes both ways. Yeah, it's cool.
Support and messages from home can play a crucial role in getting riders through the most difficult times. Some have loved ones waiting for them at the finish line too.
Hi, my name's Claire Vipond. I'm waiting for my son, Daniel. Very anxious.
What's it been like watching Daniel's dot for the past 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's been pretty anxious, to be honest. I've had to distract myself quite a bit. Tried not to watch too much, to be honest, during the day. It's amazing. Yeah, we're so proud of him.
Daniel Vipond, Cap 311, speaks to race reporter Ross Brannigan after giving his mum a hug, of course.
Yeah, really happy with it. I wanted to finish. That was the only goal, and yeah, done all right.
So, you've done that with change.
Yeah, so pretty happy overall. Stuck to a plan and it paid off.
Yeah. Any particular, like, you know, highlights from this experience?
No, not really. It was all incredible.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
great.
Yeah. I enjoyed it much more than I thought I'd be. I thought I'd be in the pen cave all the time, but only 90% of the time, so it was good.
Yeah. And how does this, have you done in many races before? How does this compare?
No, this is, well, I've done All Points North last year, which I scratched a third of the way through. But very similar vibe, like everyone really friendly, no judgment, and it's just great to get one finished, and it's, yeah, feels like a great achievement.
Philip Horton, Cap 279.
A 10, 11, 14 day experience like that was, you know, it took me hours and hours to sort of explain all of the stories that, you know, happened on the road, all of the little things that happened, and sort of to try and sum that up in sort of a sentence or two is just seems kind of almost ridiculous. But if I had to sum it up, I'd say probably quite good. It's, you know, it was, yeah, just the most incredible experience. One of the reasons that I love sort of doing these sorts of rides and touring and that kind of thing is that, like, you just end up with, like, this sort of concentrated mixture of basically, like, life, everything just, like, happening all at once. You've got incredible scenery, meeting new people, just all these emotions all the time. And, yeah, just to sort of have that all for 2 weeks and then make it here in one piece is what's been amazing.
Paul Tuigo and Teresa Shiflett, caps 339A and B, set off from Herodsbergen as a pair, but only one of them made it to Thessaloniki on two wheels. When mechanical issues forced Paul to scratch, Teresa rode on to complete the race solo.
I floated it to her, and I, you know, if she protested, I wouldn't have. You know, the rear, lack of the rear brake, especially when I experienced a vapor lock off of after CP1. You know, that is definitely a dangerous thing. You know, it could be managed. I could have made an effort to cobble a bleed kit together, but somewhat overriding thing is knowing that she was fast without me. And while I thought we'd make the finishers part together, I thought she could really rock solo, which she did, obviously. So that was really exciting to watch her.
How does it feel now, seeing her cross the line?
Fantastic. I mean, yeah, it's one of the biggest thrills of my life, sir. I'm a little jealous too, though, to be honest. Yeah.
How much of a challenge was it to start off as a pair and then go solo for the finish?
It was mentally tough. It felt like I was restarting, because it was about halfway, right? And it was hard. I mean, it's hard both ways, to do a pair and to do it alone. But I feel like it was when I... Yeah, it was more tough, like, mentally when I didn't have Paul, because my mind was just racing for a while in circles, like, and I had no one to chat with. So that was difficult. But, and he's really good at routing and navigating and stuff, and like he's got a lot of strengths that I don't have, and I got really, really lucky that I didn't have any punctures at all the whole time.
I mean, it's pretty empowering. It's pretty spectacular. It's like hard to, it's hard for me to wrap my head around it all, like how far it was, you know, because you can't, like, it's too much. You need to break it down in little pieces. So every day it was just like, what am I doing today? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, or what is my, I'd pick a little town and be like, okay, I'm gonna get to that town. And then I'm like, gonna get to that town. And I've had more espresso in these little towns than I've ever had in my life. Like, I don't even know how much coffee I've had. I have to detox now. Mm-hmm. Can't get caffeine and sugar.
Chris Wright and Mark Anderson, caps 330 A and B, are another pair with an incredible story. Chris is autistic, and Mark only has sight in one eye. But they have complementary skills, unbelievable determination, and the kind of friendship you need to cycle 4,000 kilometers across Europe together. Chris and Mark are the second pair to arrive at the finish line.
It's more than just riding a bike across Europe.
It's not just back-to-back 300 odd axes, certainly not. It's just really hard. When I got the Spirit of the Race award in 2019, and Anna asked me up, she said, "Do you want to make any comment?" And I was like, "That was really hard." And it's just really hard, you know. But we've done it. Yay!
But no many people can say you're second in a TCR race.
Oh yeah, we can be second.
Aye, we're second.
That's alright.
Yeah.
Are you proud?
Aye. Yeah. I'll definitely be back to do it as a solo.
Tired first, then I'm proud.
Tired. Yeah, it's proud as I was here for a purpose. My wife was diagnosed with cancer a few years ago, and I wanted to feel or try and reflect on what she's had to go through. And I made a choice to come here 14 days ago to put ourselves through hell and put ourselves in difficult situations, and it's either we either fight or we scratch. There's people out there, and my wife, you either fight or you die. So now I can understand where she's been and the things she's had to go through. And if you turn around and say to me I had to ride back to Belgium now, I would. So this is, we make decisions, and this is easy compared to what people with cancer and people with life-threatening diseases have to go through every day. We pay some money to smash it across Europe. I'd do it every day of the week to see my best pal there, here at the finish line for me. And that's why I came here.
Monday, 7th of August, the last day of this year's TCR, and it's another scorcher, another challenging day to be out on the road. David Eyre, race coordinator.
We are currently sitting at the finish line in Thessaloniki. We are welcoming the final few riders who are racing here in time for the GC cutoff at 1 a.m. tonight.
Fantastic. So what is going on today, this being the last day?
So that GC cutoff is coming around pretty quickly now. We have currently 12 riders out on the parcours, a couple who are just outside it. And so we are sitting here waiting to see if they can make it in time for the general classification cutoff this evening. We are also putting the final touches to our preparation for the finishers party this evening. Riding across Europe for anywhere between 8 to 15 days is obviously a tremendous achievement. A lot of riders are going to have covered near enough 4,000 kilometres to get here. So we'd like to take a bit of time to celebrate that with them, to reflect on and listen to the stories that they have from the road, and to also, I suppose, drop a few teasers for the year ahead. It's also a nice opportunity for us to offer out some prizes, which are provided by our race partners as well. So they're usually fairly light-hearted affairs and things which have happened, which we've heard about along the road, and which we think warrant special recognition as well.
More riders arrive at the finish. Thomas Kovacs, Cap 179.
You were aiming for 12 days, got 14. Was there anything particular that happened on the road that...
I think the heat in the second part, I was trying to ride around it, like ride at night, but I had to still sleep, so that didn't work too well, and I was sitting around too much and like charging and things like that. And then also I had a hard time to focus and keep myself in the race mode. I found myself several times just reading some Wikipedia article and like, oh, well, wait, I should be racing. or Instagram.
What was your...
Next time if I uninstall Instagram before the race, then it's like minus one day.
What was the most interesting thing you found out on Wikipedia while scrolling around?
I don't remember. It was just these lapses of attention all the time because of the heat, I think, mostly. But in the first part, it was quite good. I was keeping to the schedule what I had, and was okay.
Yeah.
And then after checkpoint 2, it started to crumble. It broke because I had a nice chase before the checkpoint, and it totally burned me out. I went all out, and then the next day I was paying for it. And I could continue. If not for the parkour, I could continue. But probably then that means that I should have gone stronger or harder, pushed harder. But yeah, generally it's fantastic, of course. Just the parkours are the kick in the groin.
Miko Makapau, Cap 44, arrives at Thessaloniki to complete his ninth transcontinental race and maintain his record of having never missed a control point.
I just calculated on the way that I've now spent almost 4 months of my life doing the TCR, so that's about 0.5%, or right 18 minutes a day, every single day of my life doing the TCR. So.
Plus so, all yeah. the route planning. And
yeah, like everything. That's just riding, of course. So, yeah. Yeah, but good times.
I was going to say, have all those days and hours been worth it?
It's hard to value exactly what every day has been worth, but you've seen me sign up for another year for a while, so I think they've been worth enough. So,
your ride to CP4 looked like it was quite a mission.
I had many mistakes, of course, during the part. I had a hard time getting out of some towns and stuff like that. Altogether, it played out like better than I expected.
Did you expect? Just
I spent 72 hours like thinking what are my options, and this was the one I chose, and it played out well. For example, I hadn't planned to parkour at all.
Like many riders, Alan Ratt, Cap 235, struggled through the rain in the first few days of the race. For him, though, it led to a very specific problem and a very liberating solution.
It was just after 3 or 4 days under just pissing rain, and I was just wet all the time. I had just like classic saddle sores, like everybody, I think. I managed that not too bad with cream and classic talc or something like that. But I create like a blister on my testicle, you know. Now the skin, it's like thin, and with sweat, so it was just horrible. And I was just in the middle of nowhere, and it was dark, and I just decided to take off my bib short, and I ride. Just not naked, because I keep my top on, and I did just 2 or 3 hours on my bike just without bib short. It was my best feeling, was that best feeling at the beginning of the race. But I thought nobody can see that. It's just so yeah. It was just fresh hair on my testicle. It was great. And so I did 2 or 3 hours like that, and after that I just go to sleep, and the morning after I decide to clean my bib short, but I had nothing for riding if I clean my bib short and if it stay wet, so I decide to bought a shitted pant in the market, and I put the pant on it. I put the pant and I ride 2 hours like that with my bib short just on my backpacking for, you know what I mean, for dry it. Yeah. And so the day after I just do 2 or 3 hours on pant, like a Superman pant, you know what I mean? Just
Superman pant.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was so funny.
Evening in Thessaloniki. Time for the finishers party. Drinks, awards, speeches. And later, the arrival of this year's Lantern Rouge, the last rider to arrive at the finish before the GC cut-off point. Andrew Phillips, race director, addresses the riders.
Firstly, thank you all for coming along. Thank you for leaving everything out on the road. TCR is about you guys, it's about the riders. It's a real privilege to be able to put on this race, see you all, give it absolutely everything, see you suffer, see you go through highs and lows, see you explore the whole continent, see you find strength that you didn't know you have, and see you ultimately triumph and get here. That's what the race is about. So thank you all for coming and doing that and showing us all what you're made for. So a hand for the riders.
Not long after, the last rider to complete this year's transcontinental race arrives at the party.
So my name is James Vernon, my cap number is 288.
How does it feel to have reached the finish line?
Well, I'm just overjoyed to have reached the end. I would say the first 13 days were kind of great fun, but then these last couple of days have been really hard actually. So CP4, you know, to here was just brutal, basically. So I'm delighted to be here. Really my objective was to finish. It hasn't really soaked in yet, I suppose. I just feel as though I've got a lot of miles in my legs. I'm proud of what I've done. But, you know, it's just a culmination of a lot of things, actually. I mean, it's not just, you know, you get up in the morning, you do the race. I mean, there's been a year of planning and preparation and practice and commitment. So it's great to have it under my belt.
As the riders enjoy the finishers party, comparing notes and sharing stories from the road, Ross catches up again with this year's winner, Christoph Strasser.
How does it feel to be a two-time winner of the transcontinental race?
Yeah, it feels absolutely great, but to be honest, it's nice to have that result, but what I really like most about it is to talk to other people, to share experiences and to like discuss about the route decisions and the problems we had on the road and the good experiences we had on the road. So just 1 week, I think it's 5 or 6 days after my finish, meeting so many people is just great. And today is really nice with all the people in one place and having the party and greeting the Lanterne Rouge finisher. I think one win at Transcontinental can maybe like be the result of being lucky or other ones being like having bad luck, but doing it a second time is really making sure that it wasn't luck on the first time. And yes, I think being more of an all-rounder is definitely, yeah, sure, but I will never be the complete all-rounder because I will never do mountain bike racing and I will never do like straight gravel racing.
Lastly, Robin has said that he's potentially going to come back next year.
Yeah.
Are we expecting to see another ding-dong battle between the two of you next year as you defend for a third time?
Yeah, it's always difficult to directly talk about this after the race. But I can imagine to do so. And maybe we will even see more very strong riders. So maybe it's not Robin and me only. Who knows? But of course, after two races which were successful, there is no reason for me to stop doing it.
As the cutoff point passes, the Transcontinental Race number 9 officially ends. Tomorrow, the riders will begin to make their way home, many of them overland, as they return to life outside the daily challenge of riding unsupported across the continent. They may leave their blood, sweat and tears out on the roads and trails of Europe, but they take with them the kind of memories that last an entire lifetime. Thanks to our race partners, Kinesis, Physique, Pedaled, Hutchinson, POC, Apadura, Komoot, and Peak Design.